I've had the worst bites on my body, and I don't get bites. You know, this is a scientific thing that some people get more mosquito bites and flea bites, and I don't normally get them. My wife gets them really badly, and I got these bites on my back, and it made sleeping really hard. And I think they're flea bites from the cat.
You might have fleas in your house.
Well, we've got a cat, and so I've had an experiment. I reckon the cat sits on two couches in the house.
And now you've got fleas in the couch.
I reckon fleas are in the couch. And I've stopped sitting on the couches and the bites have gone away. But how bad's that? You can't sit on your couch anymore.
To check your pubic hair?
Oh, no.
They might be living in there.
No. Are you a doctor? But how bad is it to live your life? I'm a big couch dweller. I love sitting on the couch and watching TV or reading or...
Yeah.
Just talking to the kids or whatever. Or
reading. It's a meeting point, isn't it? Where you...
Now, I pick up a kitchen chair, I pull into the lounge room.
Oh, that's not good.
And sit on it.
Hard back. Uncomfortable.
Just,
not good for your back. Because I would argue that a couch is probably better for your back because you lean back a bit, whereas the uprights, you know, you're in that position that's not healthy.
I've taken to lying in bed, watching things on my phone now, which is not ideal.
Slothful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where's
you
Dave?
Don't feel good.
So what is it they have in their bed bugs in the US?
Oh, yeah, bed
Apparently,
bugs.
If you get bed bugs.
They're in Australia too.
Are they?
Yeah.
Is that throw the bed away kind of deal?
No, you can get them fumigated. I was doing a gig once and this guy got there late and I went, "Well, what have you been doing, mate? What's your excuse?" And it was like a small gig of all blokes, you know?
Mm.
And he's like, "Oh, you know, I've been at work. What have you been doing?" You know, he's trying to get, and he goes, "I've been fumigating." I'm like, "Oh, pest control." He's pest control. And it was bed bugs in Melbourne at a hostel.
Because
generally, they've stayed up in Sydney and Queensland, the bed bugs.
Yeah.
But some of those dirty backpackers have brought them down to here.
In their dirty backpacks.
In their backpacks.
But you would argue what they use to get rid of them is as toxic as it was bad as being bitten.
This is the problem with my wife. I won't have any of that sort of chemical stuff. So we had to use something I had to get from an organic shop and sprinkle it on the couch and then vacuum it up.
You have to do it more than once as well.
Yeah, I reckon. Well, they came back, didn't they?
Or the old cat gets...
See you later. The cat's getting old. But so anyway, now I've just got a quote to get the couch reupholstered because it's time for it.
But hang on, that's not going to fix the problem.
Surely that's going to get rid of the fleas if you reupholster it.
No, they're just going to go inside, wait for a while.
Oh, really? Come back. Oh, I got a new upholstery.
Love on the new unit. Oh, they're on back on it all the time.
You don't think the trip in the van will knock them about a bit and then they go to the guy's joint and he
surely
strips
they would,
it all off?
Surely they... So where do you reckon they live?
Well, I don't know where they live. Do you reckon they live under the couch?
Though you reckon they live in the upholstery? What's under the upholstery?
Yeah, springs and stuff.
But there's like, is it like the that old K-pocky stuff?
Yes.
That whatever that is.
Yes, and that started to tear and break and stuff.
So there's plenty of places to live in there if you're some sort of mite. I don't know. I would inquire whether or not you've got some sort of, they offer some sort of spraying scenario.
I'm going to.
Just inquire.
I'll just spring it on him when he comes to turn, pick it up. I go, by the way, have a look at these, because there's little holes too.
But then they might go, "Oh, we're going to have to dip it." What do you mean dip it? Oh, yeah, it costs you $1,500 to get it dipped. What do you mean by dip? Oh, yeah, we've got to drop it in a big vat for 3 days and then we've got to dry it out. We've got to bring the drying machine. And then you'll end up, what it cost you to get it done. You could have bought a new couch. You know, so you got to question it. But maybe just bring it up in passing.
I'll bring it up. We think we've had flea. We don't know for sure.
So tell me, because I got bitten by sand flies once. I must have been 1,000 of them, got under my shirt. And they just went crazy.
Mm.
Are you coming up in a rash? What are you putting
on? I just got two or three. And they start off just a little bit itchy, and you go, "Oh, that's fine." And then they get bigger and more painful with a red area around it.
Yeah. So what do you put on it?
Nothing.
Bug off? What's it called? Bugger off? No. Stingos.
I haven't put anything on it.
Stingos. Oh,
it's gone now.
Something anti-inflammatory on there, like steroid. Yeah. If it gets bad, you put a steroid, but it won't get that bad.
Oh, it was painful.
But if you where you don't want it is down in your intimate areas.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want it down that. Oh. You know, number one, you don't get itchy there.
Yeah.
Number two, it's very appealing because it's quite warm down there.
For the fleas and the bugs or whatever that are biting me.
Well, whatever they are, I have to go, I'm out of the couch. I'm into this bloke's buddy's undies. Sorry if you're listening to this while you're eating.
But, it's all educational.
Yeah. Well, I'm not an expert, but I don't like the idea of – because when I was in Bali, we went to an area where they had malaria on the island.
Oh, God.
And you would be out surfing and then they would be just driving – they say stay away from your huts at 2 o'clock because we're going to fumigate. And a thing would drive through and the whole area would get smoked for mozzies.
Whoa, that's
just kind of like you're weighing up between the toxic stuff they're chucking in there
and the mozzies
and malaria. Yeah. So you go, you know, maybe I'll take a little bit of a toxic hit over getting malaria. So maybe you need to, because isn't there things where you can bomb your house?
Yeah, flea bomb. Yeah, but they're quite full on.
And that's when you have to leave the house for the day.
Yeah, yeah. I think they're quite full
on. So you could maybe, surely they need a thing called couch bomb.
Yeah, couch bomb.
Just put it under a pillow. Mm. It goes boof.
Gets rivet or...
Yeah, Dave and Glenn's couch bomb. Oh, there's a product.
Like flat balls. The flat balls.
Great idea.
We should set up our own shop with just our own products.
We could be like, you know, late night TV infomercials. Mm. Just one shop. I think there are shops that do that.
Yeah. I don't want to work in it though. Working in a shop's hard work.
Just be cut out of you.
Yeah.
You'd be cut out and hung on a bit of string up top, and you'd be turning around gently in the breeze as the doors come out.
I'll get one of those Mr. Blowies out the front of car.
Oh yeah, that'd be you. Yeah. What could I be?
Oh, you're more like a Mr. Blowie because you're skinny and tall, so tallish. So you'd be Mr. Blowie.
Yeah, I'd like to be.
Oh, a mannequin. You want to be a mannequin?
I'll be some sort of automated. You know, it's like.
Oh yeah, great.
You know.
Or you used to do it as an acting job, just get there every day.
Well, you know, the phone hasn't been ringing that much lately, you know, so perhaps we could.
Or a bit of spruiking.
Oh, yeah.
On the mic. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, come down to Glenn and Dave's shop.
Have you got hands up, who's got fleas?
No one wants to admit it. All right, come and have a flat ball. Make yourself
That's what you do. You'd come out, you'd buy all the cleaning products, and you go out there, have a flat ball and a sausage and bread from... We've talked about
sausage. Great shop. I've got a lot of books at home I could put in there to sell.
You sell some of your books.
Maybe you get your DVDs.
I've got a lot of my old VHSs.
I think maybe we have like a cabinet, though, with not-for-sale stuff.
To look at it and take photographs.
Yeah, like your Uncle Arthur costume. And
oh, yeah. Something from the Nugget in there?
Yes, I have. I've got... what have I got that... I've got something from the hat or something like that. Yeah, the Nugget.
And you could
Nugget poster, you know, we'll get Eric and Stephen to sign
it. Maybe a signed 10x8 of you on the panel of Specs. Specs,
yeah. We'll get
signed.
Signed by the whole gang. By the whole gang.
Yeah.
By the whole gang.
Are you turning off at home? Because I would be.
This shop sounds shit.
press next.
Kids, we're going to Glenn and Dave's shop. Yeah. Oh, not again. Please, no.
Podcast. Oh, here comes the music. Luckily, thanks, Sam.
Welcome to Somehow Related. Now, please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Wow, welcome to the podcast.
Got off track there anyway, doesn't matter. That's what
they're doing. I've been bitten by fleas.
Bitten by fleas. I don't think you're ready to put an ointment on it, but you are going to go all the way and get it reupholstered. I tell you what, though, if you get repulsors and you get there are fleas there again, you're going to be upset.
I'm really upset.
Yeah. Oh, you would have to burn it.
In the backyard.
Burn it in the backyard.
Like the Burning Man. First of all, we have a burning couch, first of all.
Somehow related, welcome aboard. Mm. Hope your day's going okay. We've recorded this, a week or so ago from when you're listening to it. Who knows what's happening in the world, but we are listened to around the world and everybody... Yeah. Everybody knows what's going on for everybody, really. And you know what it's like? It's like there's a storm off in the on the horizon, and the storm's coming. Is the storm going to miss us, or is it going to go right overhead?
I know, and
I don't. It's not going to miss us, but are we going like Italy, close down the whole?
If you're in a bunker,
well, you're probably going.
Invite us.
Yeah.
If you're in a bunker.
We'd pop around. I would imagine that because you need something to go to and. That is your regular, and we won't talk about it here anymore.
No.
Guaranteed that.
Next time we may have it, or we may not be here. Yeah, if we're not here and it's just like a boo, you know we've got the virus.
We're not looking out the window and seeing people with masks on in the street.
Not
so that's
here.
That's reassuring. But it may well be happening.
Well, you wonder because in China and stuff, they all do what they're told. You know, when they say we're closing down the Wuhan clan or what the town's called.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we will. The communists.
But here.
Oh, and Italy too. Italy, like people are just like, no worries. I'm just going to get.
Kate Lanbrook is there. She's locked down.
Yeah, I'm just going to get a cup of coffee. No, you're not meant to. Whatever.
You can't tell me what to do. You're overreacting.
We can't tell Kate what to do. Anyway, she's out and about.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see how a country like Australia and the US react.
Well, where they close down theatres and stuff. Because we've got the Comedy Festival coming up.
I think AFL football's in big trouble.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if ever there was a big crowd gathering.
Hey, let's play it without the crowds.
It'll be a TV show.
Yeah.
It'll be a TV show.
Well, cricket's already like that, so.
Yeah.
I was doing a gig at the MCG the other day, and there was a cricket match going on. I said to the guy, are they practicing? And the guy goes, no, that's an actual game. I went, there's no one here. It was like some Australia A team or something.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah,
it's like another division of cricket. Yeah. Seriously, I could not see one punter.
Yeah. Yeah. But but you had a big crowd for you.
30 people, more than they had.
Well, look at that. Look at that. They had a whole arena and they couldn't, but you filled the room with 30 people.
These people were, what were they? They were specialists in data security.
Data security. Mm. Oh, that'd be interesting.
Interesting to talk.
Cup of coffee. They could tell you some things.
Tell me. So did passwords, you ask them, not a good password.
Did you ask them about where that my camera on my computer comes in? Concerned?
Oh, I should have asked. Is that looking at me all the time?
Because I'm getting a new phone today. Whatever, get over it. And someone said to me, if you've got the face recognition, your camera's on all the time.
Wow.
So that means
you don't want that on.
Because not that I get up to anything wrong, but I don't want some bloke, on the other side of the country, come to the
toilet.
What's
Glenn Robbins doing now? Let's have a look. Gather around, guys. Any Russell Coit fans here? I've got him on the can. Here he is.
Oh, God.
Oh, what's he doing now?
Oh, dear. That's impulsive. So.
All right, so let's get the topics.
Yep.
Bang.
Premature babies and amusement parks.
Well, two of my
can't say favorite things. No, I do actually love babies. I always like babies.
I like amusement parks.
When I see it, I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of rides.
No, you wouldn't be. You're more of a church museum art gallery guy.
Oh, I like an amusement park in some ways, but I don't.
I don't imagine when you go out of the family that amusement park is the top of the list for you to do.
It's not.
Have you ever made the venture up to Queensland and done the park thing?
No.
I imagine a lot of families have. Our family did it. We used to do it 20 years ago.
We had SeaWorld, though.
Yeah.
But they weren't around, though.
We used to go to Noosa, and then for a day they'd go down and do one of the parks.
Dreamworld. Hollywood on the Gold Coast. Yeah,
Wet and Wild. Is it called Wet and Wild?
Still.
Which is also a porn site, isn't it?
Yeah, probably. So it was Dreamworld.
Yeah.
when I did a gig on the Gold Coast last year with Sam Kekovich.
G'day, Dave. How are you?
Yeah, how's it going? Look, I know I had to go on last, but I've got a corporate in Adelaide, so I've got to go on first. Sam, you said that last time.
Yeah. How many corporates can't follow those guys?
How many corporates? You can't follow Sam Kekovich.
No, you can't.
For people that know, he's a legendary North Melbourne footballer, but he's also famous for doing those lamb ads.
Yeah.
You've got to eat meat. He's very funny, but he goes, "Do you want to?" He's in Queensland. And he goes, "Do you want to hear my Dreamworld joke?" I was like, "What?" Because it was a terrible accident at Dreamworld. Four people got killed.
The raft flipped over.
Everyone's like, "No." He's like, "I'm going to tell it anyway."
I went
to Dreamworld.
Yeah, go on.
There were no cocaine, no hookers. What sort of dream is that? That was his joke.
Well, there you go. That's all right. It wasn't.
Wasn't about the disaster that happened
awful.
There.
It's only just sort of coming all out now, isn't it?
Oh, well, it was a safety thing where the person that was trained to run the ride didn't know to hit the button or was too scared to hit the button.
To stop it.
Oh, it's a terrible story. Mm. I read all about it and I was like, oh, my God. It's all
because the whole thing flipped over so it could be lined up. Yeah, completely.
And
it slapped down sort of thing, didn't it?
You see that ride all around the world in different amusement parks. A lot of the rides are the same all around the world.
Yeah,
and that's the one I just go, oh, I'm not going on that. Oh, yeah, because often they have like a, when it's just like when you go to the show and there's like a guy.
No disrespect.
You want to go faster? You go, yeah. They're in charge of a very dangerous ride.
It's a piece of equipment with sus cables, chains, wheels, and I'm going to take you, and I'm going to fling you around in the air really fast, and hopefully it stays together.
And those guys were always trying to impress one of the girls on the ride or something, weren't they? They're always trying to...
Well, I got recognised once. It was one of those ones where he goes, whoa, 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 and he goes... And he, so he turned it up faster and longer. And I'm going, seriously?
Yeah, don't.
Get me off this thing.
Oh, Pete, mate, I gave you extra because I recognise you.
Pete Smith told me, he goes, be very careful. Because I think it was when I hurt my back falling off the stage. Pete Smith, the Channel 9 legend, you know, sail of the century.
Yeah.
He said his back still hurts from when he was working on the Graham Kennedy show.
Mm-hmm.
And he had, to, I think it was Graham Kennedy show, and he had to go on the first electronic bull, you know, the... And the guy, because he was Pete Smith...
wouldn't let him off.
Yeah, just threw... And he just threw...
And thought it was funny.
Yeah, it hurt his back.
Yeah.
And it still
not
hurts.
Not surprising. Not surprising at all. Okay, which theme parks have you been to? Which amusement parks have you been to? You've been to Luna Park here in Australia.
Oh, mate, I did a gig at Luna Park.
Of course you did. I've done a gig at Luna Park.
Oh, man, and it was terrible because every time you hit a punchline, the
and
also the roller coaster would go past and no one could hear anything. Luna Park. I love Luna Park. I haven't been there for a long time.
Because Melbourne's got Luna Park, Sydney. Are there only Luna Park in Melbourne, Sydney?
No, the Sydney one's good too.
On the bay there. Is it?
Again, I did a kick there the other day, so beautiful. I was talking to the guys that paint the. He works full time as a painter.
Because once they start, they've got to start again.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful old artwork in those places.
Because I remember they had the funny mirrors, didn't they?
Yes.
You don't see those funny mirrors anymore. No. I don't think they have them there, you know. That was always good fun.
Isn't it? Luna Park Melbourne is the oldest wooden roller coaster in the world. Which is no great incentive to get on.
It's not reassuring, is there? And there's no health and safety standing there. Just we might give it another check.
Remember the guy that was standing on the back of the Big Dipper?
He was pretty cool.
Yeah.
He was the driver, wasn't he? No.
I think he was the driver. I think he drove from the back, yeah. It's just... No, thanks.
I've been to Disney World. I've been to Disneyland, obviously, in Anaheim. Have you been there?
No.
It's kind of blue-collar section of LA. So you're expecting it to be – I don't know whether it is now, but when I went, it was like you were going out into a part of town where you're going – you're watching your back slightly. So that was a little bit weird.
It's in the suburbs, isn't it, way out in the
– Yeah, Anaheim. Where else have I been? I've been to Disney World in Florida.
Did you go to It's a Small World after all?
Oh, yeah. And you can't get that song off your head. And the ride's not that impressive anyway. I went to Space Mountain is a big one at Disneyland. I went to Epcot Center, Florida. That was good.
Was that good?
Oh, yeah, that was fantastic. That was where we went into a room, sat in the audience, and then two dinosaurs came out and had a fight in front of us.
Oh, wow.
And then I'm thinking, I know there's more to this event. How are they going to – and what they did was they didn't change the show. They just moved the whole audience on a rail up to the next exhibition.
Oh, wow.
And then they had the next thing. I forget what it was. And then you could go and see Abraham Lincoln making a speech, and it was, all that animatronic stuff and the fair and the future Disney, world Epcot Center. It was great. Yeah, we're going.
Yeah, Walt Disney wanted to build he built housing as well as when he built that amusement park. He wanted to build this futuristic place to live and stuff.
Oh, okay.
He had a bit of a...
In Anaheim or in Florida?
No, Florida.
Oh, right.
He had a bit of a vision. But I haven't been... Now, the only Disneyland I've been to is Euro Disney in Paris. Or Euro Dismal, as we call it.
Do they speak in French?
Yeah.
Does Mickey speak in French?
Oh, that's a good question.
How does Mickey speak?
No.
Hey, everyone. Hey, it's Mickey Mouse. Bonjour, j'ai bonjour.
Oh, c'est beau. There was a fight in the queue because it was the start of some guy started fighting about this spot in the queue.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was Euro Disney. It was no good.
I went to a Universal Studios in Singapore.
Oh, wow.
Best thing we did in Singapore.
It was good.
It's really good. Oh, wow. And what we did, I think it was closing at 6. We got there at 4:30, bought a short line, which cost us about $150 each.
Cool.
Bought a short line, which means that you walk...
Oh, you get to cut the queue?
You walk straight up and straight onto the ride.
Oh, wow.
You have three rides by the time the guy at the back of the line even gets to it. So you just go, that was good, let's go again. And you felt bad for a second. But you have all those people, the big clog of people, and you just walk, excuse me, short line, getting on. Woohoo! Whee!
And what were the rides like there?
Fantastic. Best ride? Transformers. Flights. It's like a flight simulator thing where you go and, you know, you fight with the trans. You know the Transformers.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And I'm not even, I didn't know what Transformers were. I mean, they're, it's a kid's toy, isn't it?
It's been turned into a movie.
Go rogue sort of thing. Yeah. Fantastic. Fantastic.
The last theme park I went to was Le Parc Asterix, which is Asterix and Obelix, the Gaul fighters from that fight the Romans.
Yeah.
And so it's a very, it's in Paris, but it's in the absolute suburbs of Paris. It's like going, it's like an hour from Paris at least. Mm. And I don't think they cater for, there was no signs in English. It's mainly for French, European, because Asterix is big over there.
Yeah, right.
But that was good. They had Asterix walking around.
And your kids were into it?
Oh, they loved Asterix, yeah. Yeah, they loved it. And you go to, there's a village you can go to, Asterix Village. But again, they just have all the standard rides like from Dreamworld and they're just rebadged with, this is Asterix log ride.
Yeah.
No, that's just a normal log ride. It's not Asterix, it's a log ride.
It's funny.
It was so funny. We went on one ride, it was an Asterix log ride, and there was like a height thing to get on.
Yeah.
And my youngest one was very touch and go.
Yeah.
But the teenager's like, he didn't care, right? Yeah. And so we went on that, and then a bit later my son goes, I want to get back on that ride. So we go back, and then there was a middle-aged woman in charge, and she's like, no.
Oh.
Yeah, the kid, the teenager in charge just didn't care who went on the ride.
You always get wet when you go to those places.
Yes. You get wet.
I don't want to get wet. You want it to be a hot day, because if you get wet, the raft ride, wet, soaked pants, fantastic.
not good at all.
What about the ghost train at Luna Park?
Oh, I love the ghost train.
Ghost train at Luna Park, it would always be the thing that someone would walk up behind you and touch you on the shoulder.
Yes. My brother got off the naughty.
And got into a fight?
No, and the guy just...
He got off.
He did something naughty. The guy just pushed him back on.
Because you could jump off and become one of those guys. And you get back on the next one.
Maybe there was a fire at the ghost train. Remember that?
That's right.
Terrible.
I mean, because once you're in there...
Imagine you'd be on there going, wow, this is pretty real.
Really effective. I did go and see Universal Studios in LA where there was the thing called the earthquake or something.
Oh.
Where a train, like the subway, came up through the ground or through the ceiling. Whoa. And it all shook and everything. And it was a celebration of people dying. It was really, not a celebration, but you go, this is kind of in poor taste.
This is a
tragedy what's happening here. You know, I'll just fucking glum over here. Okay,
I went to the Harry Potter World, Harry Potter Studios in England. That's the biggest tourist attraction now in London. But that's not like a theme park. There are sort of some kind of, but it's more looking at the sets and stuff like that.
Oh, that'd be good.
Costume. Yeah, it was great. It was really good. Really good. Good if you're a Harry Potter fan. Interesting, yeah. Because there is an actual Harry Potter theme park in Florida, which is amazing, apparently. You can go on, again, a log ride with Hagrid or whatever. It's all about the log ride.
There's a log ride, roller coaster, a merry-go-round, and that's kind of it, isn't it, really? You know,
that's it.
I've been on some pretty doozy roller coasters. The one I went on in Singapore was... You were a roller coaster guy?
No.
I was a little reluctant because of my back.
Yeah, I reckon.
And I'm going... And you really, because if it zigs when you think it's going to zag, you prepare for a left-hand turn, and then it goes right, that's when you get in trouble because your back goes crack.
That's terrible.
Or maybe it's good for your back. It puts it back in. I don't know. But
I don't think it's good for you.
I don't think it's good for you. I mean, they should have a thing that says if you're above this. I mean, if you've got a senior's card, you shouldn't be getting on those things. You could have a heart attack. You could die.
Remember the Mad Mouse at the show? Remember the
Royal Melbourne show?
Yeah, the Mad Mouse.
That was intimidating.
Oh, it was high up for a start.
Looked sus, didn't it? Wasn't there a problem with that?
Yeah, I think there was a problem with the Mad Mouse. The mouse got rabies, I think. I don't know what happened. I remember going to this thing called Summerfest, which was a music festival, end of 1982. So I just finished high school on the banks of the Yarra in Melbourne. And there were rides there, right? And they had like the Zipper. Remember the Zipper?
Oh, Zipper.
And one of the containers where you sat fell off and bounced along the ground.
You shouldn't laugh.
You shouldn't laugh. There was no one in it, but thank God there was no one in it. It just came off and bounced along the ground, which normally has two people sitting in it.
Peter Rosethorn used to do a routine about the rotor.
The rotor
was so intimidating.
My God.
It was a room, circular room that spun, that was lined in rubber, And then when the centrifugal force got high enough, the floor would drop away and you were all stuck to the walls.
Yep.
And people would vomit and the vomit would react to the centrifugal force and go sideways.
Yeah, that's right.
But it was really intimidating.
Yeah.
Because you know in Melbourne you can, I don't know whether you can do it in other states, probably can, but you can do the skydiving in a room now.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, you can do that in Perth too. Yeah.
There's the airport. Yeah. What else was the rotor? That's probably all the big ones. Merry-go-round. The kids like merry-go-round.
The cave ride.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Down the caves. Which is kind of like, it's a small world kind of thing.
Well, I went on one at Dream World called the Big Drop. And I'm going, drop, whatever. Big deal. It's just going to be so. You want to go? Yeah, I'll go in on it, but it's not going to be that scary. And just see what happens. So you start going up and you go, oh, we're getting quite high.
That's really high.
And he goes, oh, okay, this is not funny. It's getting really high. And then it goes higher again. You go, okay, now I'm a little upset.
No,
and then it goes clunk and moves forward and just holds you there. And you're going, this is, and I, it drops you and you drop at the rate that it drops. Closed my eyes and screamed like a baby.
Yeah. No good.
And then got to the bottom and thought, that was fantastic. Want to do it again.
Well, that's a good segue into babies. Premature babies.
Crying like a baby. Screaming like a baby. Premature babies.
You showed me a photo just before of you with a baby in a papoose, a baby Bjorn.
A grandchild.
How did you find that?
I wasn't sure because, you know, as I said before.
Fat your back.
Well, it was fine, though.
That was all right?
Maybe, because I don't have a fat stomach. Maybe it's just what having a pot feels like.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I had.
Did you have baby in or baby out? Facing in, facing out?
I tried it both ways. Facing towards me, I think it was initially.
Well, I came up with a new move. I don't know. You can copy it. Well, the move is hands crossed like this, fingers pointing, and then the baby hangs onto your fingers like a steering wheel.
Oh, wow.
Hangs onto your index fingers like this. I'll show you
a picture. Oh, I know what you mean.
Yeah. I'll show you a picture. I don't want to say I invented it, but, you know, it looks, you know, it's pretty good. No, I didn't mind it at all. Well, we were walking the dog, right? So we took the baby out of the pram and put I in the papoose, is it?
Yeah.
And then we put the dog into the pram. We looked like a hillbilly family.
Baby Bjorn. Did you get a lot of comments of people? Like,
well...
A lot of people would think you were, oh, he's a new dad. Glenn Robbins had a baby. Look at that. Imagine that.
Well.
The old guy with the baby.
We didn't get any comments, but. No, maybe some people driving past, you know, thought were. But it did look a bit weird with the dog in the pram.
Yeah.
It's a brand new pram. It wasn't like it was like a joke pram. It was a brand new one. And they've just gone from, what do you call it, baby lying down to baby sitting up.
Oh.
Gone from. What do you call the pram bed thing?
Bassinet
to up the seat. To the seat. Mm. Big move. Big day. Big move.
Big move.
Yeah. Big day. Big move.
It's all progressing.
Yeah.
How old's the baby now?
A bit over 3 months.
Wow.
Yeah, it's all good. Anyway.
Well, premature babies are babies that are born early. That's what it just means, basically.
And is it like the body is going, trouble are coming, we need to get the baby out?
Yeah. There's all different reasons. I mean, obviously, I've got an
aftercare. And they still don't know, do they?
No, there's all different reasons why you got to get the baby out.
The baby could be in distress, but isn't that Mother Nature decides that it's got to come out early?
Yeah, well, all the doctors, and then they take it out. And
but you can force. That's different, though, is it? That's forcing
a. Oh, you're talking about when a baby comes out early and it's preemie.
Is that what a premature baby is?
Well, I think a premature baby is just a baby that's
come out early for whatever reason.
Yeah, for whatever reason. So you see the baby, that one's 48 weeks or whatever they say, you know, it's really young.
And that's where they try to induce them.
Yeah, and they get a C-section. Well, they cut them out, yeah. And I just remember when we were in the hospital with our kids, you'd see some really small babies and like, oh, yeah, that's a preemie. But it's amazing these days what they can make them live.
What do they do when they put them in an incubator or something?
Yeah, like a crib.
Which simulate the womb.
Mm.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that's the same temperature, and they're getting all the things that they would normally. So they can continue to grow.
Yeah.
In that process.
And I had friends that have, you know, had their babies in there for months, you know, in these cribs and these incubators.
And do you compromise? What do you compromise by being premature?
Often, if you got a friend who's short, they're often preemie babies. So you're like a, like if you see, well, this is what you used to say. I don't know if it's actually a scientific fact, but if you had a friend at school. Who was short and small, you go, oh, they're a preemie baby. That must have been a preemie baby.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, look, I don't know. There's all sorts of factors involved. Again, you know, we're not doctors.
Yeah, but you nearly are. As a friend of mine, a friend of mine didn't like what I was doing with him back, and I said, I should do this. And I said, how would you know? Are you a doctor? He goes, no, but as good as. Seriously?
Well, there is a great story arc in the latest Larry David Curb Your Enthusiasm where the son of the doctor gives advice like a doctor. Yeah. That's very funny. Are you a doctor? I'm a daddy. So, and he's right. He said, put a cream on that. And
that kid was very good in that episode.
Like, he was very
so
good.
What I read something the other day that they're like 10% are premature. 11,
yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
And 30% are because of, is it some sort of rupture?
Oh, I don't know.
Look, we don't, again, we're not doctors. We don't. I mean, I watch Botched, which makes me, you know, that show Botched?
Yeah.
Which, you know, I've seen a lot of surgery over the years.
Yeah, for sure.
So I kind of know most things, but.
They wouldn't do a lot of babies, though, would they?
While we're on that, one of those doctors, he always says, this is the hardest case I've ever done. And he always says, gives them like the bad news. He goes, oh, the chances of you getting an infection are pretty high. Oh, great.
Do you want to do it? Yeah, let's go for it.
And then they give him a hug and a kiss and everything, and you know, it's, you know. But they usually get pretty good outcomes most of the time.
Anyway. Babies are great.
Romy's a pediatrician.
Yeah,
is that right? Is he the one that goes in for the birth? Did I tell you about when?
That's the obstetrician who goes for the birth.
Right,
pediatricians and
the doctor expert. That follow up.
Yeah, it's an expert in kids.
But don't you have a pediatrician in the room when you have the baby?
No, that's an obstetrician. It's an obstetrician.
But what's the child doctor who's in the room at the time of the birth?
It's an obstetrician that actually helps get the baby out.
Obstetrician,
yes. It's an obstetrician.
But who was there was a guy there that was...
Homeless bloke who wanted in. There was something going on. Look, generally there's just one doctor in the room and that's the obstetrician.
Well, we had two.
Oh, yeah, two. Oh, you might have had a pediatrician in there.
Yeah.
You may have.
And I said to him, you look great. And he goes, yeah, this is my first one. Never done it before.
Oh, my God.
I watched a few things on YouTube. I reckon I can do it. It was funny. It was funny.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, it was funny. He said, I've read the brochure. He goes, I haven't read the brochure on it. I've looked at the brochure. He was really quick. And I think we said before, he's really good looking. Had a beard.
Oh, yeah.
Had bedside manner.
But
was great.
What did he do? Did he actually help the baby come out?
When the baby, I think one doctor, the obstetrician, gets the baby.
Yeah, he has
and
the gloves.
Then they go straight to the pediatrician.
Oh.
Doesn't it?
That's changed since, but you got to remember my... youngest kid is 11, so it might have changed since we had babies. Back in the day...
Maybe I got the name wrong.
Yeah, the obstetrician, you had the midwife. Right? The midwife does all the work, and the obstetrician just turns up like a rock star and goes, all right, I'm here now.
Bit more gas.
Finish my golf game.
Yeah.
I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
And we had this great guy, Lionel Steinberg. Vaginal Lionel, they call him. And he's South African Jewish guy, and he speaks like this. And he's very hardcore. I might have told the story before
I like hearing about vagina.
When he goes to Lionel, I go, how was your day, Lionel? No, not good, mate. Not good. Had a bit of problems with my children. What happened? My oldest son is like 20. He was rude to my wife, his mother. He told her to, I don't know, F off or something at the breakfast table. And so I said, you don't speak to your mother like that. And, what did you do, Lionel? I went and took the tire off his car and put it in the boot of my car and took his spare as well and drove off. So he went out there.
Wow.
I know, that's hardcore, isn't it?
Wow, he needs to lighten up a little bit.
Up a little bit. But, you know, you tell me I only have 4 or 5 hours a night, that's all I need. I'm delivering a lot of babies. So these guys deliver a lot of babies.
Anyway. Yeah, so, you know, taking a tire out of someone's, that's no big deal. So
he also told me that the house next door was being auctioned. And he goes, we don't want developers. We don't want flats. So what I did before the auction, I got up in front before I said the auctioneer, hang on a minute, mate, I'm going to make a speech. So imagine that. And he got up in front of the auction and said, hello, everyone. My name is Lionel. We don't want developers here. And if you get developers coming in, we will fight you. Don't worry about that.
That's a good thing to do.
And I have collected $4,000 each from all the neighbors, and we have hired a QC to go up against your development. And so guess what? A family board and the developers all walked away at that point and went, no, we're not going to.
Yeah, I don't reckon he would have got $4,000. He's just throwing that as a curveball in there. Who's got really four? Your average household hasn't got $4,000 to throw around.
Where he lives, they might.
I apologise. Stupid thing to say.
Around where you live, you know, that kind of area. I don't know.
Should we have thinking music?
We should.
So we could have. Oh, gee, you can't. There's nothing you can do with baby cry. Can we listen to a baby cry?
No, I don't want that. What about roller coasters? Roller coaster.
A roller coaster sound effect?
Whatever you reckon.
Or You know what I'd like? The theme from Disneyland. Because this is for our older listeners.
It's very it's triggering, isn't it?
It's very triggering. Mm. Like, what were the four worlds?
Frontierland, Adventureland,
Tomorrowland, and Fantasyland.
Fantasyland. Very good.
So that came out pretty easily. Yeah, very good. Yeah, very good. Mm. Sam, could we perhaps hear the theme from the television show?
Yeah,
Disneyland was in black and white, and there was an angel that jumped around on the screen, and they talked you through it. Tinkerbell. And we're going to—I can't remember how it goes—but we're going to go to this land, and we're going to go to that land.
That angel was Tinkerbell, I think. You're fine.
Okay, Tinkerbell.
All right, let's hear it.
Yeah, love to hear it.
Walt Disney's Disneyland.
When you wish upon a star. Makes no difference who you are.
Each week as you enter this timeless land, one of these many worlds will open to you. Frontierland. Tall tales and true from the legendary past. Tomorrowland. Promise of things to come. Adventureland, the wonder world of nature's own realm. Fantasyland, the happiest kingdom of them all. Presenting this week, the Disneyland Story.
Wow, I feel like it's Sunday night.
Yeah, I was lying on the floor.
My dressing gown, still too close to the bar heater, caught fire.
I'd be lying on the floor. I couldn't do it now with my back on my stomach, with my hands underneath my chin.
Wasn't it when you wish upon a star? Yeah. Okay. What are you going to say about premature babies and roller coasters, amusement rides, roller coasters?
I think we did one on the amusement parks, and they discovered that escalators were a ride.
Yeah.
Then they turned them into something
functional.
Functional. Oh, I don't know how they've done this, but there was a ride that you could go on that you went in one end and came out the other, and you're a baby. I'm struggling.
The baby ride.
You come out the end and you're born, and you were and you were. Premature.
Maybe they take premature babies to amusement parks for stimulation. All right, that's what I'm going with. They put them in a little transportable thing and they take them there, and because it's very full on amusement parks, all that noise and the sideshow stuff. And
so you think
that.
They want stimulation?
Yeah, they need stimulation.
How would they take them there?
Oh, I can't. I'm not into details, man. I'm a big picture man. All right, what is the answer, Sam?
Premature babies in incubators were common sideshow in the late 19th and early 20th centuries at amusement parks. This started at the 1896 World's Fair in Berlin. Martin Kuni, a German man, saw a display of several premature babies in an incubator. Kuni realized it would both save babies' lives and that the public would pay to see the babies in incubators. Caring for premature babies, but it was very expensive and had a high mortality rate. Kearney could, using fairs and exhibitions to draw crowds and money, pay for their neonatal care and save more. Premature infants could then be found at world's fairs and in permanent exhibitions at amusement parks. Many lives were saved.
That is amazing.
So let me get this straight.
Cribs were.
There'll be a thing. Hey, you've been to the funny mirrors. You've been on the roller coaster. You've been on the log ride.
Yeah,
kids, do you want to go and see the incubators? Yeah. Oh yeah, can we see the babies of premature born?
Yeah, it'd be great, mate.
And what do? You get your photograph taken with them? Do you stand in front of the baby?
Yeah, maybe.
That's a disrespect to babies. It's a freak show.
Freak shows used to be part of amusement parks. You know, that used to be a sideshow thing. Not anymore.
I am not an animal.
Yeah.
I am an
elephant
human
man.
Being.
Yeah.
Very sad.
Thanks for listening to Somehow Related, hosted by Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill. Somehow Related is produced by Nearly Media. As always, more information about the show in the episode notes.
I'm resistant.
Great movie, though.
Great movie.
Great movie.
And you know, there, what was there? The bearded lady. There was the short man,
often a pygmy. Yeah,
yeah, a man, a little kid, a little man that was muscly,
a really tall person. I remember going to them. I remember seeing one at the show.
Yeah,
and they had a headless person lying in a and it was just someone with their. It was like a trick. It was like a trick with mirrors or something. Come and see the headless person.
But sometimes they'd have something like a something in a maldehyde.
Formaldehyde, yeah.
In a jar of a and you're going, oh, no. You have to look behind a curtain. You see people coming out going, oh, I didn't want to see that.
Freak
I
show.
Can't unsee that.
Yeah.
You know, and they'd have people with tattoos and ladies with beards and they'd have, and then there'd be the tent with the, bit sus. That'd be the really nudy one.
Oh, yeah.
I remember being up at Kyneton when I was about 10. The show was in town.
Yeah.
And there was a lady at the front wondering. I didn't know what that meant, but I remember thinking it was
a bit rude.
Oh. Anyway, hello if you're listening. Those people that did that sort of thing. That's.
Well, there we go. So. Did not know that. I mean, how many other great ideas are kept in amusement parks?
We should just send a special. You would know if you were premature, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
So just a special cheerio to
any preemie babies out there.
So and that's 1 in 10.
Yeah, that's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people. So hello, if you're a premature baby, I don't know what I don't.
And hello to all the people that work with preemie babies because they do a great job.
My mum reckons that my brother came so quickly that she was in bed and she's going uh oh, and he reckons that he fired out of.
Oh my god!
And hit his head on the other end of the bed.
No. Was this the youngest one or the oldest one?
My brother Neil hit his head on the other end of the bed.
My nana, Hazel, who of course is not around anymore, when she was pregnant with my mum, Joyce, she was at home in Richmond and her waters broke and she caught the tram to the hospital.
Oh.
That's the women of yesteryear, Glenn, caught the tram. Denise Scott remembers giving birth to her first kid and then sitting having a smoke with the midwife.
That's fantastic.
How was that, love? Not bad.
It is a very, I must admit, when you go to that ward, it's a happy place to be.
Babies are great.
You know,
that's good.
They smell a bit.
Yeah, but it's a good thing. It's a lot of pain for the women, obviously, lot of pain. I hear a lot of
and
pain.
And the men do fuck all. Nothing. They do nothing.
I mean, some cultures, they keep the men out of the room, which is not a bad idea, I reckon.
You were there. You were up the other end the whole time.
The magic garden end. Yeah.
The magic garden end.
Magic garden end. Yeah, it's pretty amazing to watch, but it's pretty full on. Pretty full on thing.
Okay. So if you're off to visit someone in hospital having a baby, or you're going to an amusement park.
Or you're going to birthing classes.
Yeah, we wish you all the very best. If you are going to amusement park, get the short line ticket, much better.
Short line ticket.
And if you're going up to Queensland or down to Queensland, get a multi-pass.
Who's going down to Queensland? What, are the people in Papua New Guinea listening, are they? Or?
Well, I'm just assuming that not everyone listening in the world is in our part of the world.
Well, you've identified there's 3 Chinese people listening to our podcast.
Yeah, they could be coming. They could be popping out. I mean, given that... Well, that's interesting. I wonder if amusement parks have closed down. Yeah. Given that we're a few weeks behind with this podcast, have amusement parks started to close down yet?
Well, we're still here.
But through thick and thin.
Yeah, we'll be here. We are sending us out from a bunker.
COVID-19.
Oh, you're dirty. COVID-19. I'm doing the music break. Don't hit. Oh.